Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
All right, welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. My name is Bill Ryder. I am filling in for Jim. Thank you for being here. As always, you can hit us up, 1-800-636-8686, rome@havetake.com. This is fortuitous timing. It's always a great time to have Jason Lockenfora on the show, the best NFL insider in the country. But it's even better right now because his NFL insider notes just dropped over at CBSSports.com. Mr. Lockenfora, I hope you are healthy and hanging in there, buddy. Thanks for making time.
Thank you, buddy. I hope you guys are doing the same. We've been very, very lucky, all things considered. We're humming along and waiting to see what the future holds for schools and football and all this, all kinds of stuff. So it's never a dull moment.
2020 is definitely a giant question mark, Mr. Lockenfora. I wanted to ask you, you know, in that vein, and I know you follow baseball because you're an Orioles fan. As you look at what's going on with Major League Baseball, obviously they're not in a bubble. The NFL won't be in a bubble either. Are there any lessons to be learned here, either for fans trying to prognosticate what's going to happen or even for the NFL when they get going to try to make sure that they have some success this upcoming season?
The one takeaway for me is, and we had Dr. Alan Sills, the chief medical officer of the NFL, on my radio show in Baltimore last week, and I asked him this question. In light of what we saw happen with the Marlins and then the Cardinals, and not that daily testing is going to solve everything, but I think when you don't have a bubble, you don't really even have a semblance of a bubble, and you're going to have rosters of this size. You're going to have conservatively 180 people in these buildings every day in 32 different buildings around the country. And the NFL is going to test every day for 2 weeks. And then if things are going okay, they're going to move to a different model. And that's where I wonder. Not that, again, daily testing alone is going to solve it. But when you get away from that and now you've got longer lag times, boy, that seems to be where you can really get yourself in trouble. And Dr. Sills said, look, if we had to go daily every day, we could. I'm like, you have the resources, and these labs could handle that load, 180 times 32, times, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And he said they could. And I wonder if that's where it may have to go. And again, that's not foolproof either. And there's still the testing efficacy is not 100%. And there are still false negatives, false positives, results that are inconclusive. And when you have that many people in those confines for that many hours a day, you do have to wonder about if this is what's already happening in baseball, what does that portend for football, where the scale is going to be even bigger?
Jason Lockenfora here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Rutter filling in for Jim. JLC, we've already seen some drama, and that you hit on this in your insider notes column over at CBSSports.com today, and some NFL behind the scenes machinations trying to paint players in some negative lights as it relates to this opt-out deadline. What is the status of NFL players when they're able to opt out and how that's playing out so far?
Well, I mean, there were some things originally negotiated that now may not end up being the case. They may have to make a decision as soon as Wednesday. The NFL and NFLPA are still working on that. But the mere fact that, this is an issue for NFL teams and you're seeing anonymous executives and coaches make comments about, towards the effect that players may be trying to exploit this or utilize this. I mean, it was collectively bargained. Like, it's baked into the cake now that guys can leave and based on whether it's, they have preconditions to this or not. There's different tiers and different levels of compensation based on whether you're on the 80-man roster, based on your service time. Obviously, you've got contract tolling. You've got guys having stipends they have to pay back. So the idea that someone's going to use this to game the system, I just think is ridiculous on its face, and it's obvious why no one's saying it on the record, because they would catch hell from a lot of different people because – it's kind of ridiculous. And the idea about good faith and a player saying, well, if you don't extend me, I might opt out. He has that collective bargain right. Just like teams apply the franchise tag all the time. Go read the CBA as it pertains to the franchise tag. The franchise tag is supposed to be a mechanism to a long-term deal, nothing more, nothing less. It's a good faith venture to extend your right to singularly negotiate with a particular player and keeping him off the market for all the other teams if he's exclusive rights, so that you can try to work on a deal between then and the cutoff in July. How often have teams tagged a guy and the whole league knows they're squatting on him for one more year, or they're holding his rights to eventually trade him, like Clowney last year? Is that good faith? Is that how that mechanism and trigger is supposed to be utilized? So, you know, are these, the contracts aren't guaranteed. How often do players do a contract extension to provide salary cap relief to the team, and then they're cut 6 months later? I mean, take that good faith stuff, you know what I mean, and go sell it on Mars. It ain't worth a damn thing.
JLC here on the Jim Rome Show. Jason, we've got, what, 8 Patriots now who have opted out for this upcoming season. Is that a sign of things to come? Does that indicate anything particularly about the Patriots organization? Is there any overarching takeaway you have from that fact?
I mean, the only thing I would say is that there's a lot of guys there who have won a lot, you know, who are at a point in their career where there's a business decision to be made, and then there's also a health and safety decision to be made. And I don't think people should go crazy with the numbers because, you know, some of these involve medical conditions and or people in the process of expanding their family or who want to expand their family or whose wives are already pregnant or girlfriends or whatever. So that has to factor in as well, and it does, and that's a very real situation for a lot of people. Could some of these guys be also thinking, man, this could be a weird transition year? And different players are doing mental calculus on how realistic they think a season is anyway. So some guys are sitting there saying, wait a minute, I'm going to go through this risk. We're going to have this rinky-dink camp. Maybe we get in 3 games. Maybe we get in 4 games. And then the whole league shut down and nobody's getting paid. So is it worth it, in my mind, to go through all this, be a guinea pig, feel like I'm in a Petri dish, not sure every day what the numbers are going to be like, not sure when this league shuts down. But at some point, is that risk for 3 paychecks or 2 paychecks or 6 paychecks worth it? And for veteran guys who've made a lot of money, who've saved a lot of money, who have multiple rings, that factors in too. But I don't think there's anything endemic to the Patriots with this whatsoever. The Bill Belichick conspiracy theories are absolutely ludicrous and ridiculous. If you think this cat was involved in people's family planning 6 months ago because he thought a pandemic might be coming and they might be able to save a whole bunch of money against the cap and better position themselves for Trevor Lawrence, you're out of your bleeping mind.
Jason Lockenfora here on the Jim Rome Show. Jason, what are you hearing about where the Browns are this upcoming season with yet again a new group of leaders in that organization?
Yeah. I mean, look, this is far from ideal for any inexperienced coach, especially a rookie head coach, going to a building that's been toxic for decades, that has had anything but a winning culture there, that just ran out another coach, one and done, and that has had issues in the locker room and elsewhere and a lack of continuity and all that. But they do have a pretty good roster, and I think Kevin Stefanski is very smart, and I have heard for quite a while that he was earning some pretty good reviews from afar in how he dealt with this crappy hand he's been dealt in terms of not being able to even meet these players until camp officially starts, you know, this week, and guys just getting in the building and everything that everybody's gone through. But I continue to hear he's tailoring things to meet these players halfway, maybe even more than halfway. And this is going to be an offense that just has Baker Mayfield distribute. It's not about shooting 3-pointers and 7-step drops and 9-step drops and extending plays with crazy footwork to try to fling it downfield. It's going to be much more just distribute, just be a point guard, 3-5-step, get it out, get it to one of these tight ends, get it to Landry or Odell, let them get yards after the catch. It's going to be a lot of running the football, a lot of multiple back situations. Keep it simple, stupid for this quarterback. And for this offense. And at some point they turn the corner, and they will have things stacked against them a little bit this year. But even this David Njoku thing, which, I mean, is it a huge thing? No. I mean, he's, a tight end who has a lot of talent but hasn't been able to put it together. His trade demand is not like a superstar's trade demand. But still, within a matter of weeks, he's come back around. Now he's all, you know, dead set about being in Cleveland. He's rescinded that. It's just one more little sign that makes you think that maybe, you know, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski can be a little different than some of their predecessors.
Jason, last one for you here on the show. The NFL can humble even the most talented of people, and so can success for some folks, right? You have to keep your head about you.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has been ordained the greatest quarterback of all time. He's a partial owner of the Royals. He is now, and he's earned it, the proud owner of a massive, massive contract. And obviously, they're coming off the ultimate success in the NFL. Any concerns at all, just for you, just for that young man, talented though he is, trying to live up to some pretty serious expectations in a pretty competitive league?
Not for me. You know, I he's somebody that I paid a lot of attention to, you know, in the run-up to his combine and that draft. He's somebody who I just, from covering baseball back in the day, you know, I knew of his dad and what his dad was all about. You know, I knew how he was sort of brought up. I knew the mentality he had and being around professional athletes his entire life, and guys who had long careers and being in that atmosphere and seeing why guys succeeded and who didn't and having a growth mindset, and having some just absolutely preternatural athletic ability, and then being in the perfect hands of somebody like Andy Reid. I just think he everything I knew about him before he blew up led me to believe he was going to blow up. Did I think he'd throw 50 touchdowns as a rookie? No. Did I think, you know, he'd be that, you know, have a $500 million contract by the year three? Probably not. But did I think he was going to be an absolutely generational quarterback? I did. How quickly he got there, you know, kind of remained to be seen. But I think he has the exact mentality to handle this. And he has such, you know, so many great resources to rely on. And I think I know he's all ball, and he's driven to win, and he's driven more by team goals than individual goals, which is borne out in a contract that he signed, which, you know, is going to prove to be an absolute steal for the Chiefs. And to be able to control that player that young for the next 12 years is unheard of. And especially to do it for only $63 million in the first 3 years is unheard of. So, no, I don't have too many concerns about Patrick Mahomes.
Jason Lockenfora, you're a good man, buddy. Good luck to your Orioles. Best health
care
in your family.
5-3, buddy.
I know. Hey, it's a short season. Anything can happen, pal.
Why not?
Thanks. Thanks for making time, dude.
You got it. Thank you, buddy.
Listen up. I want to tell you all about Fracture. Fracture turns your digital images into beautiful glass prints. That's right. They print your photos directly on glass, transforming your memories into handcrafted, frameless prints. Absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful thing to have. Fracture helps you focus on the moments that matter most by turning those favorite memories into beautiful glass prints. And prints come in multiple sizes, no frame required. Glass prints also make unbelievable gifts that your friends and family will never, ever forget. It's a home run. Fracture prints look incredible. You really need to see them to believe it. Upload your photo at fractureme.com/Rome to print your photo today on glass. And we've got a special deal for you listeners. When you visit fractureme.com/Rome and you enter the promo code Rome, you'll get 20% off your order. fractureme.com/Rome. Enter the promo code Rome and save 20% off your Fracture glass print. I'm hyped on Fracture, and I do appreciate their sponsorship of this podcast.
And sports, we're going to get going. We're preparing for the NBA. Baseball was just about underway. The good news is that the National Basketball Association in this bubble is a go so far. How amazing has it been that it's been reflected in the ratings to be able to sit on your couch, hang out with whoever you're hanging out with. For me, it's my wife and kids. Open a beer, whatever you're drinking, and actually watch some sports. It's been remarkable. Both the NBA and Major League Baseball. But something that I talked to Jock Peterson on this show about a few weeks ago, and I'll play that here in just a minute, was always going to hang over whether or not Major League Baseball was going to be able to be a go. And that is the real difficulty. And by the way, this isn't just directed at Major League Baseball. It's directed at the NBA, at football, at people that work in radio, at people that sell insurance. If you have a large enough group of people, you're going to have a percentage of those people who are stupid and selfish. You just are. And that's certainly come to the forefront over the last few months as all of us have grappled with how we want to deal with COVID-19 and a brutal 2020. For me, for my money, and this shouldn't be some kind of divisive statement, as it relates to your own well-being and your own health, you can make your own decisions. If you go somewhere where other people have some concerns, wear a mask, be polite, keep your distance, whatever you can do. But for Major League Baseball, for the NFL, which will follow, for the NBA to a lesser degree, whether or not every single player is able to follow the rules to stop the spread of this virus will have a direct impact on whether the seasons can go and finish. 80% is not going to cut it. And we saw over the weekend the consequences of selfishness and stupidity. I know you're not supposed to call people stupid, but you know what? Dumb people do dumb things. Dumb people say dumb things. And in 2020, not being bright, not thinking about what's going on, not being willing to have any sense of the people around you has actual consequences beyond the individual. And that's why over the weekend, 20% of Major League Baseball teams were idle in what is a condensed and desperate attempt for baseball to be a go. It just is. 17 games, not even 2 weeks into the MLB season, 17 total games have been put on hold because members of the Marlins down in Miami tested positive for the virus. And we found out later in reporting that came from Bleacher Report that MLB's investigation of the Marlins indicated bad behavior, reporting and rumors of going to bars and clubs. Do you know what it is when you're a Major League Baseball player who has to travel around the country, be around other guys, and the sport hinges on every single one of the nearly 1,000 people that play and travel? Do you know what it is when you go to a bar and you go to a club and you act like an idiot? It's idiocy. It's selfishness. And it brought the gears of the game at least somewhat to a halt. And then, at another part of the country, away from Philadelphia where this outbreak started from the Marlins, where they got stuck. Because remember, Phillies couldn't play. The Marlins obviously couldn't play. Blue Jays and Nationals had to push the pause button. And then another outbreak with the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals Brewers on pause. And the Cardinals are such a well-run organization. Such an amazing culture. A real history of success. You would have thought they would have done the right thing, and you would have been wrong. In fact, our buddy, Jerry Harrison Jr., former longtime major leaguer, won a World Series with the Yankees. And I think Jay Hare was on this show, on the Jim Rome show, Bill Rutter filling in, when I was here a few weeks ago. By the way, I am so over, just a quick aside, it mostly annoys the hell out of me in the NBA, which I cover for CBS Sports HQ and CBSSports.com. I'm so over the sycophantic way that people cover the sports that they cover. Never criticizing, never saying the truth, not wanting to get to people's bad side. It's common in the NBA. It's common in Major League Baseball. Good for Jerry Harrison Jr. to come out over the weekend and say, no, what happened, Jerry Harrison Jr. reporting, what I heard Jerry Harrison Jr. told us, was some Cardinals went to a casino. Why don't you just go to a COVID clinic and lick the walls? It'll be a quicker process of acquiring the virus and spread it to your teammates, you morons. Seriously, people do die from this virus. That's the thing that happens. But if you want to put that aside, if you want to just get into the economics of baseball, every one of us wants to keep our job. I'm going to go on a limb and say I think that is something those of us lucky enough to be employed have in common. And in Major League Baseball's case, it doesn't matter if you make $50 million or $50,000, $20,000 a year or $20 million, you grow accustomed to the life that you have and you want to make the income that you have coming in for whatever lifestyle you have. And someone who would jeopardize that, whether they're a multimillionaire baseball player at a club, or the one guy at the factory who doesn't do the right things when you have to be shoulder to shoulder, that person betrays every single person they work with. And this was a concern I had a few weeks ago. Because, and by the way, it's not just, it's everywhere. You are never going to have 100% compliance when you can't monitor people and you have to rely on 100% selflessness and 100% non-stupidity. There's dumb people everywhere. There's selfish people everywhere. Look at the NBA. Look at Lou Williams from the Clippers going to a gentleman's club in Atlanta for the ribs, or for the chicken nuggets, or the chicken wings. Wasn't any of those things, by the way. He might as well have told you he went there for a leprechaun. That would be as true as going there for the food. But there's a bubble that the NBA has the advantage of. You've got Terrence Davis, the undrafted rookie with the Raptors, who showed up with a hole in his mask after a social media post that he showed his lack of belief in masks and the virus. That's totally your right if you stay in your house or stay with people who are like-minded. Do you know who's not like-minded? The people that are in the NBA bubble. They've made it very clear this is the process. And in Major League Baseball, multiple players have said, for us to have a game, to make money, to have a run at a World Series, to bring fans a little bit of distraction. And I get it. 2020, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world that matters a lot more than sports. A lot more than sports. There are issues of social justice. There are issues of health. The economy's in tatters. I get it. But I'm not going to pretend that I haven't been overwhelmed with joy. I have been the last 4 or 5 days being able to watch some sports. That doesn't erase the problems in the real world, but sports never have. But they bring some joy, a little bit of normalcy. All of that is jeopardized by those guys who went to a casino, who went to a club. This is my concern all along. In a situation that Major League Baseball finds itself in, and by the way, canary in the coal mine for the National Football League. National Football League, 2.5-3 times as many traveling people in a traveling party as Major League Baseball. Baseball can't do it. The NFL's in deep trouble. Deep trouble. You don't care about baseball. You're listening to the Jim Rome Show. You're wondering, who is this filling in? It's me. It's Bill Ryder. Why should I care about baseball? Because if you like the National Football League, you better pay attention. And if you don't like baseball or the NFL, you're probably on the wrong channel. You have to do the right thing. Every single guy has to do the right thing. And when Jock Peterson, the Dodgers outfielder, was on this very show a few weeks ago, an unfortunately prescient question and answer gave you some indication of how important from a major leaguer, from Jock Peterson, it needed to be that every single person in Major League Baseball do the right thing. Jock, there's, what, around 900 guys at the Major League level. You've been around for a while, and I'm not talking your Dodgers teammates. I just mean in general across Major League Baseball, what percentage of guys do you think are going to be able, willing, have the discipline over the course of this shortened season to do exactly what you're talking about and be incredibly cautious to the point of restricting themselves from what is basically normal life?
Yeah, I don't know. The way I see it is that you either, one, you stay quarantined because you care about your safety and the people around you, which seems pretty respectful and normal. But if you don't believe in that, if it does get messed up and you play for the money, you don't get paid if we don't play. And then the third one is if you play for like a World Series ring or you just love playing baseball, you don't play if you don't quarantine. So there's like three pretty valid reasons why you should take it serious. You know what I mean? For baseball players I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense.
So either not going to play, you're not going to get paid, and you could affect your loved ones or your teammates or anything around you. So,
yeah, it seems to make sense to me. Let's just recap. Look, if you're listening as part of the Cardinals organization or you're listening to the Jim Rome Show as part of the Marlins organization and you're one of the guys who went to a casino or a club, even though the protocols clearly said you shouldn't, I just want to say to you, you subtract from the sum of all human intellect and you better get your act together before you ruin things for everybody, you selfish, absolute D-bags. And Jock Peterson was right, he said it. Prescient. There's three things. You could just be respectful. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm not going to pretend that that's going to be a commonality for every single person on the face of the earth or in this country, let alone in baseball. But respect is a good one. But for those of you that are just a little self-absorbed, so now we're moving from just being decent to being not stupid. How about the money? How about the money that's involved? Or if you want to find a middle ground, love of the game and the need for a World Series. I'm not going to pretend that Lorenzo Cain is the most important baseball player on the face of the earth, but he's a hell of a veteran, an important part of that Brewers team. He lost some weight heading into this protracted, delayed season, and he was swinging a pretty good bat. And you know what he did over the weekend? Unlike UNS Cespedes, he actually told his team. He didn't just exit stage right. Pull of The Leftovers on HBO, which I just finished and blew my mind, even though it's like 9 years old. Lorenzo Cain opted out. These are real concerns and real problems. Jock Peterson told people on the Jim Rome Show, don't be a selfish jerk. Lorenzo Cain just told anyone who's watching, too many people have been for me to stick around. Robert Manfred is not the world's most impressive commissioner. He's as impressive a commissioner as I am an athletic specimen, which is to say, not at all. And there's some blame there for him. And I understand that baseball writers want to pretend that you could not have operated in a bubble because it's so difficult. 2020 is difficult. You're playing for hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. You couldn't have figured it out. But that's not the route that we went. The route we went was they're going to play games. They're going to travel. They're going to be at their ballparks, except for their Blue Jays, who are stateside for the year. And guys are going to have to do the right thing, and they haven't done it. So here's a suggestion before we get to some NFL talk with Jason Lockenfor. Here's a suggestion for Robert Manfred. If you're not going to be in a bubble, which you're not, and individuals are going to jeopardize the entirety of the season for everybody through their selfish, obnoxious, stupid acts, which they already have, suspend for the year every person from here on, from this moment forward, who goes to a casino or a bar or a beach party and breaks the rules that egregiously. A, in a vacuum, that makes sense. B, we've already had two teams act badly, individuals on those teams, and shut down 17 games and six organizations. It's selfish and it's not fair. If Major League Baseball doesn't go, it will be from the lack of leadership of its commissioner and the selfish stupidity of just a few of its players.
The final 22 teams are in Orlando and they're back on the court. While the ending to this year's basketball season will be different than years past, there will not be a shortage of excitement. And there is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings will have not one, but two $1 million top prizes through the first 2 days of the resume season, so get in on all the action right now. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is so easy to play. You just pick eight players, you stay under the salary cap, and you pile up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. There is no better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at $1 million. But if basketball is not for you, don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of other fantasy golf action for this week's tournament as well. With millions of dollars up for grabs, there is no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app right now and use the promo code ROME and get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week. With your first deposit, that's promo code ROME and get a free shot at millions of dollars with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Happy Monday. Welcome back into the program. Thank you for being here. Jim is off this week. I'm Bill Ryder. As you heard, I'll be filling in today and tomorrow, and we would love to hear from you. 1-800-636-8686. RomeAtHeavyTake.com at Jim Rome. JimRome.com. You can also hit me up on the old Twitter at SportsWriter, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the clones, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your question. Be listening later in the show when I might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Again, you can hit me up on Twitter, SportsWriter, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. The G Money Show tweets, oh my God, did I just hear SportsWriter say the players for the Cardinals should have went to a COVID clinic and licked the walls? Only one segment in and we are firing. You know what's really sad about that? Is that there are actual COVID parties where people basically do what I'm describing. And equally sad, more sad, is that there are people who have died as a result of going to those things. Hey, Cardinals players. Hi, Marlins players. Any of you MLB players who think you're just going to skip the rules, go party, and you don't care, please reconsider not being a completely selfish piece of garbage. Just a random thought. And John in New York tweets at SportsWriter at me, Bill, when will you get to the match of the year, Hawk versus Ryder, hashtag Tinder tennis? That is a reference to my, looking back, ill-fated and fairly obnoxious humble brag where I brought up on the air that I was playing some tennis and crushing some fools. Do you know what happens in any sport, but especially if you're me? I mean, you can look at me if you're watching CBS Sports Network and you could have seen this one coming. If you start to think you're amazing and start to brag about it, you get humiliated and humbled. So I'm playing tennis at a pretty high level, playing the league, won some matches, talked about it, made fun of some of the guys I played against, did it on the Jim Rome Show. I don't remember when I was on here last, 2 weeks ago on a Friday, Thursday, whatever it was. The next day, I had the worst loss of my life, 6-0, 6-1 to some guy named Steve, who crushed me and was not nice about it. Was very condescending, but I thought, you know what? I deserve this. So I've recovered a little bit. I play a little bit better. But when is the Hawk versus Ryder match? I don't know that I want it anymore, because I'm certainly destined to get my ass kicked in that thing just based on the fact I've talked about it on a national radio show. Oops. Over the course of my career as a radio host and a writer and a guy on TV, have made some pronouncements, bold or otherwise, about the NBA that have really angered the teams that I've talked about and even some of the NBA writers that I'm friends with, because there aren't a lot of, in my opinion, highly critical, there just aren't, NBA insiders, NBA writers. I thought for a long time that Melo would never, ever, ever be the best player on a championship team. He's not going to be the second best player on a championship team. All this Melo love from his time with Portland, please. The guy can't move the ball. I thought Dwight Howard was a joke and a waste of talent. That one has proved itself to be true. I thought and think, and this is based on reporting, all this stuff is, that Chris Paul, as talented as he is, was too irascible a personality behind the scenes, too phony with his teammates to lead them. Maybe that will prove to be wrong. I don't think it will be, but they've looked really impressive in Oklahoma City. Another belief that I've held, that I've talked about, I'm sure I've talked about on this show, is that the Rockets with James Harden would be splashy and sensational, and it was never going to work. What's the expression? All sizzle, no steak? And when Mike D'Antoni, the head coach, who, remember, D'Antoni's entire system and approach over the course of his career has been taking great players like Steve Nash or mediocre players like Jeremy Lin, who can be the instrument of D'Antoni's approach and system. And D'Antoni's a genius, and he's changed the game, pace of play, volume of three-point shots, stretching the floor, turning away from big men, turning big men into guys who do things that big men didn't do 20, 15, 10, even 5 years ago. But there's always been a limit to it, right? Steve Nash, two-time MVP, 10-plus assists per game in that system, really talented group of guys with him in Phoenix, they couldn't make an NBA Finals. They couldn't get there. And so the combination of that reality for D'Antoni, plus James Harden's, let's just be honest, the propensity of James Harden to play really well but not consistently great in the postseason, put it together, I thought they would never, ever accomplish what they want to, which is to win, let alone make an NBA Finals. Maybe you put them in the East, maybe they make a Finals, but it's not an easy road in the Western Conference. It's only two games. And look, I don't want to be wrong on Chris Paul. I don't like Chris Paul. I've interacted with Chris Paul. He's not a nice guy. Sorry. Sorry if State Farm is your insurance and you've been buying it because of him. I would, you know, whatever. It is what it is. I like James Harden. I like Mike D'Antoni. I'd like those guys to be successful. I'd love to be wrong. And D'Antoni has doubled down. He's tripled down on his approach. Clint Capella gets shipped out. They go crazy small. And they're going to shoot a massive volume of threes. They're going to shoot 30, 40, 50 threes a game. They are. And I remain skeptical. You're not going to be able to rebound successfully. You're going to have off nights in a best-of-seven series. Harden has literally, in huge closeout games, gone 1-for-21 from the three-point line. That's an actual fact. And another reality, and you can be a Harden fan. I'm a Harden fan. But you can be a fan of his body control and the way he gets to the free throw line, or you can think it's hot garbage. Either way, you don't get as many of those calls as you move your way through the playoffs. Because you know who's you're playing against? You're playing against LeBron. You're going to be playing against Kawhi. Back in the day, you're playing against the Warriors. You're just not going to get the same number of calls you get against the Mavericks, whether you should or you shouldn't. And yet, it's only two games in, the Rockets have looked remarkably dynamic. And the things they've done in these two games shouldn't actually be possible. You're talking about, look, you play them, and I think the Dallas Mavericks, it's a matchup situation always in the NBA, but that Dallas Mavericks team can beat a team they should not in the playoffs. They certainly should be able, if the matchup is right, to advance to the second round and then play really tough against an LA team. Are they going to beat the Clippers, the Lakers, the Dallas Mavericks? I don't think they are. It wouldn't be the most shocking upset of all time. Luka Doncic is a talented enough guy to be a multi-time MVP. He is. Porzingis looks really good. Rick Carlisle's an incredible coach. This is a team that's got some depth people don't pay attention to. And the fact that Houston, in that overtime game, came back and won was impressive. The fact it was an all-star game. The final score was something like 153 to 149 or whatever it was. Houston didn't play great defense. To quote Dorn from Major League, it was the Ole defense. And yet they got it done. But I remember watching the game and thinking to myself, the small lineup looks good. They got out rebounded. It didn't matter. They shot a million threes. Harden put up a ton of points. Harden was 1 point of overtime, but 1 point away from a 50-point. He was a point away and a couple rebounds from a 50-point triple-double. And Russ played great, too. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, they're going to play the Milwaukee Bucks on Sunday. I'll do Rome on Monday, and I'll talk about how the Rockets aren't for real. And the Rockets, at least for that one game, made me look foolish. They beat Milwaukee 120 to 116 last night. Here's the thing about it that I think is remarkable. A couple things. One, James Harden didn't have an overpowering game. That was a group effort. And the other thing that's amazing to me about that game, the Milwaukee Bucks have the best defense in the NBA. I know Eric Bledsoe wasn't there. And I know that Giannis and Chris Middleton had great games. And by the way, Middleton's close to joining that 50-40-90 club, which is very, very rarefied air. But defensively, the Bucks are the best defense in the NBA. They are, period. That's why they're so good. And the Rockets dropped 120 points on them with Harden having an off night for him, just in the sense that he didn't have to take over the game. There's a chance, and I think it'd be great for Mike D'Antoni in the final year of his contract, and great for James Harden, and even Russell Westbrook. I'll double down on how wrong I could be. I thought there was no chance Westbrook and Harden would work together. I mean, Westbrook, great competitor. I don't know Russell Westbrook from Adam, but everyone will tell you who knows him. He's a great guy. But not exactly, Mr. I'm going to share the rock. And yet their friendship and their, you can see it on the floor. The fact they trust each other, maybe it's going to work. Houston is the biggest question mark in the NBA. The Celtics are good enough to win an NBA championship this year. They probably won't, but they're good enough. The Raptors are good enough to scare Milwaukee. Milwaukee's good enough to win an NBA championship. The Clippers and Lakers are good enough to win an NBA championship. Denver, Portland, those teams aren't. Dallas is not yet. They're not there yet. Houston could be anything from a first-round flameout to being in an NBA Finals and having a chance. And I would normally err on the side of the flameout. And since I've ridden that horse for so long, I'm going to stick with it. But there's a real chance, what we've seen, just two games, that this small lineup, this tripling down on the tray is going to lead to the Rockets shocking some people. And if they can avoid playing the Clippers or the Lakers in the first round, maybe they'll do something magical. So keep an eye on Houston. Giannis and Chris Middleton look amazing, and the Raptors do look really good. And I know it's two games, but man, they're so small. And they just beat a Bucks team they shouldn't have beat. And Milwaukee wanted that game too. Remember, Giannis and Harden don't like each other. Take shots at each other. That game had the intensity of a playoff game. Giannis wanted it. And Harden and the Rockets got it done.
Good night now!